Colorful podcast, people. 2021, colorful characters, interesting people, local businesses in and around the Jersey Shore area. That is right. 2021, this year, we're taking it to the whole next another level. There was this level, then there was the next level, then there's the next another level, and that's where we're at right now. We are in Wrecked Production Studios. We are with, of course, the one, the only, Aaron Levine here from LG Insurance. Once again, Happy New Year, man. It's been a while.
It's 2021, and I learned to turn my volume down while I'm starting my watch party.
Beautiful, so beautiful. We are here, of course, also. Thank you so much, James, Eustace, your crew, Wrecked Productions, Wrecked Studios. It's amazing, man. This is amazing.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad you guys reached out and said, hey, let's do this. I'm excited.
I mean, this is crazy. We got smoke machines, we got lights. This is exactly what I needed in my life. So I'm so happy to be here.
We got to show up and somebody else did all the work.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody. Ming, a Shared Universe Podcast Studios.
Watch party for me, Aaron. Look at this. Go. I'm the tech guy. I'm asking him how to do. I have it open. I just don't know how to do it.
Let's see.
Sorry.
It's all good. This is loosey goosey, baby.
You don't ever give your social media to somebody else.
Yeah. He's gonna be. Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
This is
smiley face.
This is great, man. I'm loving this. The lights, the camera, multiple angles. All kinds of things going on.
Yeah. Changed it up a little bit on you, like last second. So.
James, what, you know, let's, you know, before we get into everything, I just want to say, there's a lot going on, especially in the Monmouth and Ocean County area. I don't know if you guys know this. James, are you from the area?
I am. I'm from Ocean Township.
Oh, nice.
Little history lesson here. Outside of this, Aaron and I know each other. We went to high school together.
Ah, Shore Regional?
Ocean.
Ocean.
I was from Ocean.
I know. I just assume Shore Regional. I don't even know, like, Ocean High? I've never even heard of that.
Ocean Township.
Oh, really?
School.
Ocean Township.
Spartans.
Yeah.
Go Spartans. I just figured Shore Regional, it was just everything, you know, in that area.
In the Shore.
Yeah, in the Shore region. Oh. So you guys go way back.
Yeah.
That's
great. We've known each other for quite some time.
That's cool. It's funny. I moved away for a little bit, coming back, and then you start running into people like that.
It's amazing how quick the world shrinks sometimes when, it 6 degrees of separation.
Especially when you're running your own business, you're located in an area, you're gonna definitely cross paths with people. You're not commuting, you're doing all your stuff in this one spot. That's kind of one of the first things I wanted to bring up was there's a lot of people move into the area. I've talked about New Yorkers before. I personally love the Bennies. Come down in the summer, spend all that beautiful Skrilla. Throw money around all over the Jersey Shore. Buy things. Please do it. I love it. But I'm riding down Holmdel Road with my wife and my beautiful son. I'm going down Holmdel Road, right? We're not in some back alley. We're in Holmdel. Going down the road, there's a guy pulled over right on the side of the road in full view of everybody, taking a leak. New York plates, okay? Taking a leak. He's doing the man pee-pee stance, you know.
Was his door open?
His door
was
wasn't
like
open.
Trying to block a little bit or no?
No, he was not. He was at the back corner bumper of his car. Cars are going by, and of course, me being who I am, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to slow down and just hit the horn, because I'm like, what are you doing? Of course, my wife, you know, saw me try, like, not even doing it yet. She just knows me so well. She's like, don't even do it. I'm like,
he's just going to chase you.
He's got his dick in his hand, he's going to chase me? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? How dare you beep at me while I'm pissing on Holmdel Road? Like, pull into a side, pull somewhere, do something.
Like, you got a tree or anything
He
like,
was
just straight at the back of the car, didn't open the doors and go between the two doors.
Yeah, something. He just didn't.
You know that move, right? Open the front door, open
on
the back
cross
door, stand between them.
Yeah.
He's used to being on the cross Bronx. You just whip it out and you just got to go.
Yeah, seriously. And I don't want, I don't want to judge people. That's not what 2021's about. And I want people to come in if they respect our lovely area. I love, obviously, having a podcast totally local. I love the area, but don't do that, man. This ain't New York. This ain't the city. Don't do that, especially in Homeville. You don't want to do that to the mayor finds out over there. Who is it? Vinny.
Oh, you're thinking Buontempo.
Buontempo. Did Buontempo? He won, right?
I don't know.
We got to get him on. We got to talk local politics and really get to the bottom of what's going on with this township committee and you know, anyway, maybe we'll run into him over at Bellworks. A Shared Universe now has a small studio set up over there, and it's a beautiful facility. Speaking of which, you're going to be there, next Friday?
Yeah, next Friday. Thanks, Carrie, from Brand Groupies. I'm going to be the guest.
Yeah.
Being interviewed next Friday at Shared Universe in Bellworks. So
love those.
Talk about, you know, branding and content and fun and business and...
Yeah, definitely.
You know, get a good coffee and hang out with Ming if he's there. You know, it's great.
He's been busy. He's been getting busier and busier. So, you know, hopefully he'll be there holding it down.
Yeah, I just put two and two together when he walked in and noticed who Ming was. And I was like, this is the guy from Comic Book Men podcast. And,
yes, right? takes a minute for...
There are celebrities in here now.
That's right. That's all we hang out with. That's all we know.
I do have a Kevin Smith question for Ming when he... unless he left,
he's still here, I'll have to hit him up later. He's like Batman. He's always, you know, doing stuff. He's always moving around.
But he's built a great business. I mean, you know, now coming in here, seeing all these new lighting toys.
Oh, man.
I hope he's got his American Express out and he's going shopping.
Yeah, he's taking notes.
I can't wait for next
week.
I'm
going to kick him out, actually.
He's like
inserted into my realm here. Like, get out of here, Ming.
Speaking of your realm year, you obviously, as everybody was, as everyone's talked about ad nauseum, COVID, pandemic, the apocalypse, you know, people wearing gloves, people spraying everything, businesses in turmoil, and we all adjusted. We all kind of pivoted and shifted, and you were obviously not the exception to the rule. So, was Wrecked Studios a part of your other business, or how did this come to be?
Yeah. So thanks for asking me about that, Andrew. So, you know, we started Wrecked actually in 2019, and to kind of give you like a little background about me, I started in the entertainment industry in 2000. Well, before that, but for myself in 2009, as This Is It Entertainment, which is an established company that caters to private events, both on the entertainment side and also the lighting production side. So we started Wrecked in 2019, but you know, with This Is It being busy, you know, we didn't have a lot of time to really kind of nurture Wrecked. We came up with the idea. We knew what we wanted to do roughly with Wrecked. Got the LLC, but didn't really like pursue anything with it. Kind of just sat on the back burner. Then the apocalypse hit, right? And you know, coronavirus came along. And for anybody that doesn't know, I know that you know a lot of people talk about support small businesses and how are local restaurants faring and stuff. I know you guys have visited some local restaurants, but like the entertainment industry itself, being around live events, has been literally decimated by this. Like, and I feel like we're a little left behind in the sense of people don't really realize that there's 12 million plus people involved in this country in the entertainment industry, from not just like performers, but stagehands, lighting techs, roadies, the guys that are driving the tractor trailers to bring the stuff to concerts, like, and it trickles down through concessions, but literally like decimated by no live events right now, or very limited live events. So, you know, in March when COVID hit, we had, that's like the start of our busy season for performance. Like, we come out of the winter, out of hibernation like bears, and it's like from March until, you know, December is super busy again. So we're right at the peak of coming out of season, and boom, it hits, and then everything gets pulled out. And we're like, okay, this is a big deal, but like, this can't last that long. Like, you know, we'll be okay. Week one, week two goes by, and then it just starts to, and, you know, Kelly and I looked at ourselves, and we were like distraught. We were like, fuck, what do we do? Like, what do we do now, right?
Yeah, because I think everyone was kind of saying, what do we do?
Compared, like, what we do in entertainment, especially, you know, we do a lot of wedding work as This Is It. I always say, like, it's funny, you know, weddings are like death and garbage. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? But I mean that they always happen, right? And whether you can afford them or not, people are having weddings. So I thought that there was job security in that, right? And it turns out that rug gets pulled out. So we looked at each other and said, what are we gonna do? Because Kelly and I both do this full time. This is how we make a living. And where does our income come from now? We don't have like all these avenues of income rolling through if we can't work. So what do we do with the equipment and know-how that we already have? We have all of this equipment, you know, we gotta be able to do something productive with it. And Rekt came back to fruition and we said, we're gonna concentrate on taking all the stuff that we have and dumping it into digital content creation or giving the platform for performers to be able to still do what they need to do, record stuff because now they can't leave and go out or put performances out. So we actually moved in the heart of all of this craziness from a smaller space directly across the way over there, which Aaron, you've been to before, and we got a space that was double the size, and which is, seems a little irrational when you have a huge monetary flow coming in, but you gotta jump off cliffs sometimes, right? So that's what we did. We came in here, we converted this space. It took months. We did construction in here. We soundproofed this room. We started working on the front. So, and I gave you a little tour before. And you know, that was kind of like the evolution of like, how did Rekt come about? So, you know, the non-short answer to your question was is, no, it wasn't really a integral piece of my existing business as it was. Mm-hmm. But I think with COVID, in COVID times now, regardless, it was about evolving. And that became part of our catchphrase at Rekt, create, inspire, evolve, right? Evolve, you have to evolve, because if we didn't evolve and we just sat on our hands and waited for the entertainment industry to come back, where would we be, you know? And so that's kind of the premise behind Rekt. You know, we wanna be creative and wanna put good content out.
I remember watching James, who would post on his social media, you know, the construction, everything going on. And then one day, the most important thing to know about James's content is sometimes there's a pole that gets strung up in here. And there's some very interesting entertainment that gets streamed live, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's, and anybody can come and broadcast,
so that
put
was,
on a show from here, right?
It wasn't indicative to just what we're doing. You know, we wanted to be able to put that platform out to everybody at an affordable cost. You know, money doesn't flow from the money waterfall, essentially. So. Anybody can rent this space. It's shell. You could either choose to not use us for any of the production and camera work and lighting work, and just come in and do whatever you need in this space. Or you can have us do it for you, because we already have all of the elements in place. You know, it's a pick your pace kind of design, right?
So how did you put the information out with the existing clients? You know, obviously aside from like, you know, weddings, but like, you know, the existing clients you had, what were your client, the clientele that you were working with, mm-hmm. how did you convert them or talk to them about, hey, we were doing this, but now we're also doing that?
So that's interesting. And, you know, our client turnover from Rekt, from This Is It to Rekt is very nominal. But what we originally, the way the idea incepted was to say into like the camera work and stuff, how are we gonna infuse the This Is It clients, is we said, people are still having weddings, let's offer live streaming services of their weddings, mm-hmm. right? Which originally started from, okay, we have nothing to do, we need to stream our DJs,
yeah.
So we're gonna buy an iRig setup and plug it into Mac. And then obviously you see that's not really what happened here.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty involved in the booth back there.
So we, you know, but what we did is we offered all of our existing clients in contract now the opportunity to utilize us, because we can pick this stuff up, bring it out to a location, and be able to provide the platform to do the stream for them. That's awesome. So that they can still get their events out to the folks that are afraid to travel or maybe high risk. But we also found that a lot of those clients, rather than compensating what their event was, mm-hmm. just chose to either Unfortunately, some canceled their events in totality, and others, most, chose to move it to 2021 or 2022. So we didn't get a lot of infusion, actually, believe it or not, of people that wanted to incorporate the live stream. Mm-hmm. People just wanted to have their weddings as normal and push them on. So we had to now figure out a way to acquire a new base of clientele.
I've noticed that. I've seen some of the pictures on Google. Yeah. And where you have some dancers.
Yes. Thursday nights we do a show called Stainless Steel. Local business based out of Woodbridge.
Totally.
Pole to Pole. They
beautiful.
Have three locations. We have them. They come in. And they take the alternative fitness route. You know, there's a lot of fitness involved in dancing.
There is.
There really is. So they cover a dynamic of things. They do yoga, they do chair dance, they do aerial stuff, ring work, and obviously the pole stuff.
You don't do aerial stuff in here.
So we can, and they're actually going to be doing their
That's awesome.
Their gala in the 20 or the 8th of February, which will stream on our Twitch channel. Which will have a compilation of all of these different elements.
Cool. Well, epic shouts to Jody Coburn out there. She was our first guest, and if we can get her back in and do some aerial yoga in here, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll do all the rigging. Absolutely,
all
she's
right.
welcome.
Awesome.
Is Top Hat gonna?
I might have to come out of retirement.
Come out of retirement.
I might have to. With all this smoke machine and these lights, I might have to do that. I just went on my SoundCloud and I had a pro account, so you could have like unlimited. You know, whatever tracks on there. And then I switched it off because as Aaron has heard ad nauseum, Andrew Top Hat has retired. And I went on there just checking what was going on. And I found all of my old recordings, everything on there. You could actually, even though people couldn't listen to them, you could actually download them. So I started going through them and I'm like, you know what? I wasn't too bad at this whole DJ thing, you know? My biggest problem was I played what I liked and I didn't give a shit what the audience was listening to. That's why I was a horrible wedding DJ. And, you know, especially if I had a couple drinks in me, if I was out at the club and playing, you know, I definitely, you know, was not, you know, and the straw that broke the camel's back, as everyone's heard, somebody asked for some, God, what was the country singer's name? I'm playing like house music and somebody comes up and asks for some, what was his name? Brian Church, Chris Church, some church
Eric
guy.
Church.
Eric Church. And I'm like, bro, do you hear what I'm playing? And I had a nervous breakdown. But anyway, you know, getting back to you guys, how did you, obviously, you know, you guys were fighting for, you know, the top GPA at Ocean Township, Go Spartans.
I think Aaron was smarter than me in school, to be honest with you.
How did you guys...
I'm a solid B.
How did you guys reconnect?
We reconnected, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago through business, through mm-hmm. another mutual friend of ours, who Noah, who just moved down to North Carolina, mm-hmm. Mid-early COVID, resettled down there. Noah, what's up? But that's how we all reconnected, and mm-hmm. I was doing insurance work for Noah. Noah did some production. Noah did the video that's on my Facebook. That really nice video.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's my cover video. He did that, and so Noah and James used to do a lot of work together.
Yeah, and Noah actually shared office space with us.
Oh wow, see,
and
small
Noah
world.
And
two or three spaces ago, or four spaces ago.
You know, kept our friendship from high school, post-high school, and stayed, you know, hanging out into our adulthood. So that was an easy connect.
Nice. So as far as, like, if James is doing an event, a wedding or something like that, or, you know, if somebody needs event insurance, would the person that, like, say it's somebody's wedding, would the people that is having the wedding get event insurance or wedding insurance, or would you go through, say, James's company, and James's company would get insurance?
So everybody's going to have their own insurance, uh-huh. right? James has his own insurance that covers him for wherever he's going. We always recommend that brides and grooms purchase their own event insurance.
Yeah.
And then the venues have their own insurance, and anybody else that's working on behalf of the bride and groom or the venue as a subcontractor has their own insurance. So there's stacks of millions and millions of dollars worth of insurance on the liability side should a situation arise, mm-hmm. you know, knock on vinyl.
Knock on vinyl.
You know, that we never need it, but it's more and more that, God forbid, somebody gets into a vehicle. We all know when we're at a wedding, we overconsume.
True.
and overconsume, especially when it's an open bar, that if somebody gets in the car and drives, the bride and groom are gonna get sued, the venue's gonna get sued, the bartender's gonna get sued, the DJ, everybody's gonna get sued,
yeah.
Right? And look at all this great lighting around us. You know, you have the scaffolding, the structures. If somebody knocked one of these over because they drank too much and a light
if we pulled like an Eddie Vedder and I start climbing up it like an idiot
yeah, we don't
and fall.
Want that, right?
Yeah.
Like that puts him at huge risk.
Yeah.
Whether it was his fault or not, because somebody decided to climb the scaffolding.
Yeah, and we just want to have fun.
We just want to have fun. We want to keep it safe. We want to keep it insured. You know, and the same thing here. When entertainers come in here, you know, it's each entertainer should have their own set of insurance for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so that James is then protected should they do something stupid.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all about layering and moving things around.
Definitely don't do anything stupid. No. But if you're gonna do something stupid, make sure you have insurance. Don't be that stupid to not have
we've
insurance.
We've all done it. We've all done.
Everybody's your friend until they're not. That's always my saying, right? And I think that's the best advice I can give to prospective couples and to tie into what Aaron says about carrying a day of rider. Right? Is that not how? Because I have seen it, you know, over my span of time, people doing silly things like. I can think of one event in specifically that had a marble floor,
Oh.
It was dinner time, the end of dinner. By that time at night, you know, people are pretty loopy.
Hammered.
Dude decides he wants to do a, you know, baseball slide across the dance floor.
Didn't
take physics into account, right? No. So, dude's wasted. I see him. He, like, takes four steps back. It wasn't even, like, during a dance set. It was just, like, at the end of dinner, you know, and... takes like the running start, dives in, right? Then physics, caught up, friction hit.
Oh.
And he went wham and smacked his two front
of
teeth.
Of course.
Knocked both of his two front teeth out right there at the
got cringe. Up
and was he like a best man, a groomsman? Was he in the wedding party?
A guest.
Just an a hole at the. Oh, man.
But isn't it always. He could potentially sue the gamut at that point, even though he did something stupid. We live in a sue state.
Because the lawsuit would say, why would you have such a dangerous floor in your venue?
Why would you have such a dangerous floor in front of my face, man?
We had an instance way back when where somebody slipped and fell during an event. They tried to sue us, had nothing to do with us. They tried to sue us. They sued the venue. I still had to go through the process of going and what do you call it?
Depositions.
It's slipping my mind right now when you go and
deposition?
Deposition.
Yeah. So I had to go through the deposition process, still had the insurance investigator. They hired investigators, a fall investigator. They hired all these investigators. It turns out, you know, even though the lady, which is an older woman, blew a point, I'm not exaggerating this, a point two, she fell and broke both of her wrists.
Oh.
Okay. She blew a 0.278.
Okay.
0.278. That's like this far away from alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
You know, 60-something year old woman nonetheless.
You drink that much, you're gonna break your wrist, basically.
Right? So falls, breaks both of her wrists, claims that she only had one rum and coke.
That was a very tall
that the venue
that was a 2-gallon rum and coke.
Her post her fall to dull the pain.
Oh,
that's
man.
What her claim was, So you still have to go through the process. So everybody's your friend until you're not. Get insurance for your events.
Seriously, do that. Man, wow. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of like, you know, we talked about the dancers. It would be kind of interesting to pair, say, dancers with the DJs because, you know, it's... This makes it a lot easier. Obviously, I've you know mentioned before that I've DJ'd. I've done streams. I've seen people obviously doing all this. I've seen bands do streams. I've seen DJs do streams. I've seen a lot of people do. I mean, everyone's been streaming, but it really adds a certain level of you know interest to have the lights set up correctly. Mm-hmm. To have the audio going nice. If you don't have your audio set up, so it makes a big difference. It's not just what music you're playing, it's the quality of the audio coming through, it's the quality of the video coming through, and it's also, you know, all the stuff. So I mean that's what really takes people's you know for going to that, like I've said before, that next level of I'm a DJ, I'm gonna play you music, to I'm gonna, you know, really make it interesting so that you actually pay attention. And I think that's what something like this setup you got here is going.
So we use one of our own guys and we were doing, and he also is an audio engineer, so he has some work. He works at a jazz club. He can't be here all the time, but we do it with our own guy. And We do a DJ stream here, and you're absolutely right, and it carries over to events outside of this or in here. You know, not having all of those elements, right, is like only getting half the picture. Essentially, you need to give viewer payoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I give this analogy a lot, you know, you can have great audio, which audio is everything in a podcast, vodcast, right? If you have unclean sound or not good sound, people are leaving your channel immediately,
yeah,
on to the next. So you have that, but that's half the story. So you need the audio and the visual pulled together. And I always like to say, like, if you turn on your TV and you put your TV on mute, you can see what's happening, but you can't hear what's happening, so you have to imagine what they're talking about, or vice versa on the radio. You can hear what's happening, but not see what's happening. But when you marry those two elements together, and you have the audio and visual, that's when you get the viewer payoff. So it completely affects not only the atmosphere, but your body, you know, it helps your body, if you're here, it releases endorphins, right? Like, it makes you excited, it helps you submerge into what's happening. So if you imagine DJing from your bedroom, which a lot of guys are doing right now, with their regular lights on in their room,
yeah,
there's no elevation to what's happening. It's very monotonous, right, very plateau, you know, whereas here, you can get away with a lot more because we can visually stimulate what's happening while you're listening to it, and it gives it a new kind of ultimate gratification.
Yeah, and it's always better, you know, content is the key. Like, you need to have the content out there. And what I always tell people is, do what you can, and as you do it is how you're going to learn. Like, the more you do it, it's not like you're going to come out the gate and have everything. We definitely didn't come out the gate having it look like this, you know, and you learn as you go. You learn better ways of streaming, the technology, the lighting, you know, and it's something that people need to pay attention to, like the basic levels of stuff. Epic shouts to Angelo Gingerelli, Mr. Fifth Round. He's been killing it with the weekly events on the Instagram and Facebook for Totally Local. And I just think about the first time I was doing it was called Totally Local After Dark, which hopefully, you know, we're going to get back into. But a lot of people had a lot of time off. We were doing it late night. I had a, you know, a baby that was sleeping, you know, odd hours, obviously. So I would do them late night, have a couple cocktails, really good time. And one of the first ones I did, Angelo was on it, and he had a lamp on behind him, and it looked like he was like, you know, he looked like he was like in like a, you know, some kind of Discovery show, or, you know, he was some kind of witness that didn't want to come forward because you couldn't see him. It was funny, and you don't, you know, you don't learn that unless you know, hopefully, you know, in the future, obviously that was the first and last time that happened with that, you know, when we're doing the After Dark stuff. But it's little stuff like that where you got to pay attention to, mm-hmm, you know, how you light yourself. Even if you have, you know, a lamp in the room, like where to set it up and how you're hooking the audio up. You're not like just playing your DJ set through a speaker and then have your phone next to the speaker.
You need a little console. You need something.
You need something to like hook it all together.
There's so much information out there. And I mean, I learn every single day. You got to evolve. But, you know, like, break it down to the basics, man. You're doing lighting, you got to have a light behind you, a backlight. You should have a side fill. And you got to have a key light in the front. You can do that at home.
Yeah.
You know, you can get an inexpensive ring light, put a lamp on behind you, put the ring light on front of you, and get yourself that lighting. You can go to Guitar Center and get a $40 Yamaha 4-channel mixer and plug in your computer to that mixer, you know, or your feed and put that out. I'm not advocating that's the only way to do it. Obviously, that wouldn't be good for my business, but you can start off that way, or you can just come here and hire us and we'll do it the right way.
But you know what, even in business, right, I'm on so many Zoom calls on so many different associations, and you still have people that don't know how to use the mute button,
yeah,
for one, right? That's like, it was the quote of 2020 is, you're on mute, it's gonna be the same fucking thing this year too. Because people don't get it, and you have people using, you know, bad cameras. And I, you know, even in the beginning, I was using my laptop, but I've upgraded. I've got a light, I've got a camera, I've got a microphone. Like, I've got a decent setup. I just have to learn how to clean my desk a little more.
A little bit. Get a nice backdrop.
We'll get there. We'll get there. That's next. But again, as James said, we can just come here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you start to realize over time is, like, I had this one client. I have this one client, and I, you know, I can't you know, people want to do what they want to do, and he's telling me how he got this great deal. He bought these two Sony camcorders. This guy had a, you know, some video production stuff he was upgrading. Oh, he spent, you know, he told me how much he spent on it. He's like, but it was a great deal. And I'm like, bro, you know, his company has nothing to do with video production, so there's no reason for you to buy all that equipment. Around that same time, he got an iPhone, and I'm like, yo, man, shoot with the iPhone. You don't need all that stuff, because what you do need to do is A, focus on your business, B, hire a video production company to actually do the work, because you should really be focusing on, you know, he's a brewer. He has a brewery, and I'm just like, brew your beer, man. Mm-hmm. Like, don't, if you want to shoot video, that's great, but if we're doing this to promote your business, we need you to make what you're doing, and then you need to hire somebody else to do what they need to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's kind of nice.
People don't get that concept. Hire somebody to do your marketing.
Yeah, and as far as what you were saying, too, it's so, you know, there should be some kind of a sell sheet that goes out to where, or not a sell sheet, but just a little infographic to be like, don't put the camera down here. I was just on a Zoom call the other day, and it's like a bunch of people, and you're just looking at them from this really weird angle. You know, if you don't want to hold it, you got to get some kind of stand for your iPad, or get some kind of camera and a tripod.
Sell it on Amazon for like $7.99. Yeah. You can get a little stand for your phone and drop your phone in it.
Just so it looks a little. I mean, I guess people don't really give a shit if you're in a meeting or whatever, but it makes all the difference in the world.
I've got a meeting with 30 people this afternoon. I'll have my light, my headphones, my microphone, and then I'll just be looking at everybody else and be like, I can't hear you, and dogs and kids, and I'm guilty with the kids in the background.
But you know how to use a mute button.
You know, I also know how to shut my video off.
Yeah, it's important, especially if you're in business, you're trying to sell something, you're trying to buy something, are you going to take somebody seriously? Mm-hmm. You got to think of all these things. They all got to come into play. So, you know, you've definitely upped your game, and it's going to keep going.
Let's keep going. I love it. Yeah. It's fun, and being in spaces like this, it's great.
This is it. You know, who did the set design?
So I did that last night. I sent you a little picture. I wanted to see how many of us would actually be here. Uh-huh. I wanted to obviously make it feel, this is a big space, you know, and I wanted to make it, in a camera perspective, feel cozy. You know, it's a cozy chat style show. You know, I think that clean edges wouldn't work for this. Mm-hmm. So I felt like this was kind of the most conducive to just kind of hanging out and feeling loose.
And this is more of like, I mean, that's kind of speaking towards, it's not just the technical equipment, it's the logistics behind, like, you know, what goes into making sure that, you know, the setting matches what the business wants to kind of convey.
Yeah.
So, you know, you definitely nailed it with Totally Local here. So we have dancers coming in. We have DJs. Yep. Are there businesses coming in and doing like just promo videos and stuff like that?
So that's the market we're looking. You know, it took us a while to really get on our feet here with the construction and get everything rolling. Right now, we're looking to build our network. You know, we talked briefly about this before. We like just recently, like within the last month, got our website to fruition. We've got leave behinds and materials now. Now we're really concentrating on getting that out to these key elements like businesses. But yes, you know, like that's what our all time goal is, and the whole premise behind the black box portion of it. Mm-hmm. It looks great in this type of setting where we kind of stand out and gives dimension with no backdrop. For a corporate setting, like they could do something like headshots in here and gives that 3D depth to your headshot or your product line. Or we can do what's called the psych wall, which is like an infinity white wall that you could put up, and they could do product shoots or whatever from here. That's our target market is. Not only just bands, which we talked about before, which we're all laced up for, and I had to give the guys back there a crash course in how to use the equipment, but the versatility of it is, if you're a business and you need to do instructional tutorials, or you need to host some sort of small demonstration, like this is a great space for you, because essentially you can make it however you want it.
What's a way for a business to come in and work with you and have them not piss you off by being doofuses? Like, somebody comes in, what's a great way to approach?
Paying him, they get to be the
yeah. I know, as but as they want.
Yeah, I always, you know, I want to come into a space. I want to be respectful. I want to know, you know, what is it that should be expected from me? That's just a common courtesy I want to do, and I would want to make sure that, you know, I'm not doing any faux pas. I'm sure there's at least a couple people out there that feel the same way. We're not all, you know, from New York pissing on the side of the road. You know, we have some common decency because we live in a country where there's places you can go behind a building, you can go in an alley, you can go in a dirt road, you can go anywhere else. Don't go on the side of the road. I don't want to see your ass. I don't want my wife seeing your piss stream. She's like, I could actually see the stream hitting the fucking road, the steam coming up. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. It's disgusting. And when we see your friggin' license plate, when we see your New York license plate, do you know what we think? We think that it's disgusting, and we don't want to see you in the state if you're going to be doing that, man. Come here and respect the state, okay? Yeah. New Jersey is a beautiful place. It's the Garden State, Monmouth County, Ocean County. Come on. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, common decency.
Not be annoying as a business.
Yeah. Right?
You know, I think you start with the creative session, right? So we're here. Obviously, we're knowledgeable in a lot of things. We're creative, so we're not just like to the punch to punch. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where our skill set succeeds, is being creative and looking at new ways to attack things. So I think you come in here first and say, hey, look, this is the kind of the loose plot of what I'm trying to achieve. And then you let us sit on it and think about it a little bit. And I think, you know, the key to that success is to have a creativity session leading up to it, understand what your goals are walking into it, helping us understand what your goals are walking into it, so that maybe we have some insight too on how to project that a little bit better.
Definitely.
On camera. And then you work as a team, synergy, to make that happen. Once you come up with that plot, then on your shoot day, you can come in here and really utilize the space to its potential minute by minute, not waste the time essentially being like, oh, you know what, I didn't think about this or that, because we've already helped establish that. So as a company, you want to come in here and say, hey, look, I need to shoot a series of 6 tutorials between now and the end of February. I want to put this stuff out in March. This is what I want to achieve. And then we can say, okay, cool. Like, let's not only just use this, let's incorporate some multimedia in here too. So we get some screens so that you can show whatever you need to do, or that could be in the background. So that's kind of like, I think, the process into achieving what you want.
I mean, I think that you kind of mentioned utilizing the space and understanding, you know, what are you going to get the most optimal return on your investment? Meaning, like, you're coming in here to do this. What can I expect to get? You know, not coming in here with like a white scarf on and a giant bullhorn and like directing people around. Like, really coming in, you know, this is a black box studio, meaning you can make a lot with it. Obviously, you know, you're not going to be shooting Lord of the Rings in here unless we get giant green screens and CGI and Peter Jackson.
That's
you know,
a lot.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. That's kind of what I was getting at, is like, you know, there's certain things where it's like, you know, you're going to be spending a certain amount of money to achieve, you know, certain types of production value. Mm-hmm. But it's really about, like, what is the return you're looking for? What is your goal? And making sure that you trust the people exactly how you trust, like, an insurance company, insurance agent, to tell you, you know, what coverage you need. You'd come into a place like this, into Rec Studios, and be like, look, I want to shoot a promo for my business. You know, I'm a real estate agent. This is what I'd like to do. You know, fairly simple, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And on that, if somebody wanted to do a promo, say they were a real estate agent, just because it was on my head, and they wanted to do some in-studio stuff to get some nice shots, but then they also wanted to kind of go on location and get some shots. Mm-hmm. Can you help them with that too?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the camera equipment that's also mobile. Uh-huh. So we can go out, shoot the B-roll for them. We can actually do the editing work for them as well, if that's something that they're interested in, or we can just give them the raw footage. So we can put the whole package together in that respect.
That's
do
cool.
The B-roll on location, bring it back here, put it all together, give them a draft and say, what do you think about this? And then we can make whatever adaptations from that point.
So, like, what I would imagine that obviously a DJ is a lot simpler setup. But like, what would it take? Would it be possible to have, say, a band in here?
Yeah, and that's one of our markets too. So we've had a band in here. Uh-huh. We have bands coming in here.
How do you mic everything so it sounds cherry and like? How do you do that?
Yeah, great question. So essentially, this whole studio is wired for sound. So as we saw the crew over here when they originally came in, to give you a little background to why we went on a little late today.
a little later than normal.
We switched some things up. The guys came in, they had all of their equipment ready to go. And I said, hey, you guys just want to use my equipment instead? And Andrew's like, yeah, let's do that. Fuck it. You know, like, take this shit away. So the studio is wired for it. So what happens is that all of the audio is run from different sides of this room, okay? Through the wall, up through the ceiling, into the control booth. And we have all of these different paths for the audio, all these different channels, okay? And that all ties back into an audio console or digital audio console that we have in the control room. We can accommodate up to over hundreds of channels, essentially, by being able to do that. So for a band, when they come in and they set up in here, you have a multitude of microphones that you need. You could have three vocalists, so you need three vocal microphones. Then you need a guitar, right? The guitar is going to play, so you need a feed for the guitar. You need a feed for the bassist. Mm-hmm. You need a feed for the keyboard player if they have a keyboard player. If they have horns, they each get their own independent feed or channel. And then the drums is the big one.
Drums. How do you make sure it doesn't bleed from the drums and hear everything else?
That's complicated, right? That's super complicated, actually, especially in a space like this. So on the finished product side, we use drum mics, which is a totally separate set of microphones, and we do the kick drum and the snare drum, and then we do microphones on the toms, and then we do what's called overhead mics or condenser mics for the cymbals, and so we mic that whole kit independently on each channel. So the kick is its own channel, the snare, and then that all gets mixed by the audio engineer, whether it's Rob or whatever, to make it sound perfect on the actual video side. In here, for the performers themselves, we put down floor wedges, and we can actually send different signals or different channels to each floor wedge in here. So let's say that obviously you don't need to put the drums in the in-studio mix because the drums are already loud because they're playing in here.
Drums.
But the keys needs to hear the bass player, but doesn't want to hear the vocalist. So we can just put the bass to the key player, and then the vocal needs to hear the guitar and the keys, but not, you know, so we can literally add each element in studio to each wedge so each performer can hear what they need. And then the overall on the finished product is just a nice, clean, balanced mix. Final product.
So, I mean, and obviously, we kind of just grip it and rip it, as I like to say. And, you know, we were coming in here. We had a vague notion of when to start. In the future, I usually do.
I know who I'm working with also.
You know what to expect. As far as people coming in and working with you, say it's a band or it's a bigger production, and you know, you say you want to start at say 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. What would be the appropriate time for like a band? I mean, I'm sure a band would need a lot more time than say a couple of schmohawks from a local podcast. But like a band, what would you say if they want to start at 10? When should they show up? And when does the clock start as far as when they're paying you? How does that all work?
So when we do like basic pricing, we already allocate. We have a minimum, and that minimum time for a band, we base it. You know, could be 2 hour, but we say a 3 hour minimum for a band and that's if you want to do 1 hour of real recording. And that gives you an hour to get your equipment in and set up and us fine tune it, and an hour to break it down on the backside. The breakdown process compared to setting up is like that. So they don't really need that hour on the backside. It gives them a little bit more time on the front side. Depending on the project and what we're doing, you know, we would, you know, maneuver that time a little bit better, but I think that 3-hour time frame, if you're trying to do an hour of recording, is a good amount of time to get your product done. The key is to get your stuff in here and give us the opportunity to refine the audio portion of it from there. On a pod, I think anything, anything as simple as this, as the show is, not to simplify it, but an hour before, like all of my streaming experience, especially on live, is like, you need time. So it's funny, and that's why I said blame Aaron, because last week, we were supposed to do this show last week, and then, you know, some things changed up, and we decided to push it to this week. When I originally reached out to Aaron, and Aaron reached out to me, I said, what do you need for me? Because I have equipment here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Aaron was very soft with it, and, you know, just kind of let it go. Not throwing you underneath the bus, right?
I would have done the same thing, Aaron. So yeah, I would have been like, yeah,
I'm just the book. I'm the booking agent. I leave the rest to the other.
Now we know.
You're the looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get it. You're the looks. So, you know, when he told me 10 o'clock, I thought you guys were coming at 10 to do like an 11 o'clock stream. And then I saw the actual media piece that was 10 o'clock stream. So I texted Aaron last night and I was like, hey, what time are you guys coming tomorrow? He's like, 9:45. And I was like, 9:45 to do a 10 o'clock stream. These guys must be friggin' awesome.
Yeah, well, we are. We're a bit of prima donna, so.
Very laid back and, you know, going live 45 minutes late and or an hour late is...
If we didn't change things up, we would have been on schedule for that. But if there's anything I've learned about live streaming is, like, it doesn't really matter.
No.
No,
it doesn't really matter if you're 10 o'clock or 10:30 or whatever.
It only matters if you tell people via social media it's going to start at 10, and then, you know. But you know, we're me and Aaron are a little bit of prima donnas. We expect to just roll into the room and be pampered.
Axl Rose and so, Slash over
yeah,
there.
Exactly. So, but we've picked up a lot of things, and I think it's good for the audience to hear about this stuff too, so that, you know, when they want to produce things or do stuff for their business, they kind of could have something to expect. And also to let everyone, the viewers at home, know that, you know, in the future we will tighten it up a little bit.
Tighten it up a little bit.
Just
but
tweak it.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking there's a mobile bar here.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
yes.
We bring in a bartender maybe from the Long Branch Distillery, Mario, to make some spiced pineapple martinis.
I think it's about that time. It's basically, you know, the spring, so we might as well just start celebrating. You know,
James wants to promote to more businesses to use the space, so I see networking, headshots, martinis.
I want to bring in the first band onto Totally Local as well. So we have, there's two actual studios in here. We have a band. We of course have the bartender to lighten the mood, and then we have me and Aaron in the other studio. We have the band in this studio, and it's basically what a psychic told me a long time ago. I would be hosting a talk show of some kind, you know, talk show or game show, maybe both, is what they said. So I think this is one step closer in 2021.
Wait, James was saying something before. You have a shock machine. What do you have?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We have the shock machine. We had to get it from Mexico.
So if somebody gets the answer wrong.
You can't even get it in the United States.
You cannot buy a shock machine in the United States.
Mexico.
Wow.
And it's battery powered. It has like two diodes that you hold on to, and it has intensity to 0 to 9. And that
do you know
nine,
what would be great? I think that's really fun, and I think people are probably assuming that you'd have, like, say, one of us holding one of the other.
That's
I think that it would be a little more interesting if me and Aaron had to answer questions, and then there was two other people holding, you know, holding the holding
our
the devices.
Lambs?
Yeah, we'll see. Like,
each hold a diode and then hold hands, and the current will go right through them. You know,
oh,
have
man.
You tried, so it's 1-0 to 9.
Yeah, I mean, I
can
go get it right now, and you guys can test it.
I mean, we don't need to. Right, yeah, we don't need to really test it as of right now. You know what? You know, what's the best way to people? You know, I can't think of a business, especially in this day and age. I can't think of it of a business. I can't think of a business.
That's fine.
I can't think of a business that wouldn't benefit from having video or multimedia. You know, what is it called?
Oh, it's in Spanish.
Cajade toques.
You know, how long can you hold on for?
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
And here, I'll even show you what I was talking about, and we'll show your guests. So you have the diodes that I talked about.
Milton Bradley, look out.
No, there's no Milton Bradley on this guy. So you got your two diodes you hold on to.
All right, give me one.
Go ahead.
Is it battery operated? Yes, I just want to hold. I'm going to hold. Do I hold both of them? Can I hold one of them?
Well, if you want to take the full shock, you can hold both of them. If you want to share it with Aaron.
Here, Aaron, grab
it. Aaron can hold one. Now, we won't go crazy. So
no, do like a two.
Is more than
is this going to mess the microphone up if I'm holding it in the other hand?
All right. So all right. We'll do two. You're going to feel a little tingle, and essentially we're going to turn the switch here. Wow, these guys, they're not even... Nothing's happening.
It can't be on.
You guys have to touch hands.
What do we have
to
complete
the circuit?
Oh, okay. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
You have to complete the circuit.
I'll do it. Hold on a second.
Here.
Turn it
I'll
off.
Hold your give me the microphone.
Oh, I just felt it.
All right, turn it off. Turn it off.
I just felt it.
All right. All right, hit me.
You
hit
ready?
Me. Yeah.
You guys are everybody ready for this?
Yeah. Oh my God! What was that?
That was on two.
Are you kidding me? What does it go up to?
Nine. And I've taken the nine before in a show. And it's intense.
All right, do it one more time on the on the two.
I'll give you a little bit.
Okay. Holy shit!
All right, so that was four. I lied.
Oh my God!
So it actually makes your hand squeeze tighter, which is even crazier because then you can't let go.
I'm putting it down now. All right, go ahead, I'm putting it down now.
I feel it through the microphone. Oh, I feel the electricity.
Man,
take it.
No.
So we were doing things like
sweating enough.
You know, trivia or...
Who needs a cup of coffee, man? That just woke me up
a little bit. It'll get you. So we can use that in future shows.
Yeah, definitely handing it to other people to hold.
Is there a way to, like, put it under the seat? Like,
yeah, we thought about doing that. Instead of doing it in the hands, like, tape it to the back of people's knees.
That goes up to... That's
debilitating.
That goes up to a nine?
Yeah, which is actually more than sticking your hand in the outlet at home. So this is 120. It actually is 140 volts at nine.
What is it called again? Cajades Toques? I'm going
to
Google that. There's got
to
be.
Amazon Mexico.
I want to see. I just want to know if there's YouTube. I want to know if there's YouTube videos of people doing this because if I want to see somebody take a nine, that's like insane. That's like being tased.
It's actually worse because this is alternating current, not DC, so it actually stings more than getting tased.
And you can't I couldn't think straight and I couldn't let go.
Nine is jarring. I'll tell you from experience, like your whole shoulders, they shrug down.
Oh my God.
It's brutal and it has to be real quick. Like I've only done it for a couple of seconds and it's pretty bad.
Wow.
I paid the price.
Well, we might have to have like cash prizes or something and have people on.
Yeah, we were doing it for subs on Twitch.
Okay. Oh my God.
Shock James for subs on Twitch.
Oh boy. All right. Awesome. Wow. Okay. Well, like I was saying before my brain got fried a little bit, you know, in the world we're living in now, it's becoming, you know, what we've seen through sci-fi or futuristic movies and whatnot, like, is becoming more of a reality where people are online, it's interactive. Obviously, the pandemic has, like, propelled us, you know, years into the future as far as the technology goes or what we should be used to. So I really can't think of a business that couldn't benefit from having some kind of video production, audio, some kind of studio, pictures, all this stuff. So, you know,
it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it definitely, it's not going anywhere. And this studio, I'm not going anywhere. I'm ready to do this. And next time we do it, I'm going to hold on, do a couple shocks, and then do the podcast because my brain's really, really, really moving right now.
We hit him with a nine.
Woo,
so
boy.
About 3 minutes ago before that, you were, you know, getting to how can people, you know, get in touch with James.
Yes.
And,
okay. Yeah, I lost,
you know,
those brain cells.
How do we help James make some more money?
Yeah, James, how do people get in touch with you?
So we're here, right? You know, I'm going to give you all the avenues of how to find us. Obviously, we have a website, so that's recproductions.com. The key here is wrecked, you know, and I really didn't think about this when I did it. We got really cool with the name, but we thought about when you hear it in a whim, you don't really realize how to spell it. So it's with a W, W-R-E-C-K, apostrophe D, it's just no apostrophe in the recproductions.com, right? So we got that avenue. We obviously have, so you can send an inquiry that way. You can follow us on our socials. We have socials. We have Instagram. We have Facebook, just like everybody else. You know, Instagram is more of our current of like what's happening constantly, you know, live stories and so on. So that's definitely a way to find us. We do all sorts of cool stuff. So do that there. We have a Twitch. If you're a streamer in a game, you don't have to be a gamer anymore. It was based on gaming to begin with. But when coronavirus happened, there was a huge changeover in what happened, and Twitch seems to be the platform to be on if you're trying to reach a crowd. So you can reach us out, follow us on Twitch and reach out to us that way. There's, I think we have every essential platform possible to get to us.
All right, perfect. What about a phone number if people just want to call?
732-936-9916. Remember that. It's going on recording for forever.
There you go.
Yeah,
perfect.
But, I mean,
nobody showing up here is going to be using a phone.
I'm just saying. You might get some older people that are just like, hey, how do I get on there?
On the landline?
Yeah. You know, they got the rotary.
Or reach out to me. I'll be your booking agent. We'll
get everything all set up.
I'll take 10%. Life is good.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
I'm okay with that, man.
That's fine.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Well, James, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for everyone that set this up. Thank you for Chris in the booth. Thank you for Christian in the booth. Thank you for the other Chris in the booth. Thank you for Ming. Thanks to Shared Universe Podcast Studio. Thank you, Rekt Studios. This has been great, James. Thank you so much. Aaron, again, thanks for being a part of it. 2021, we're doing big things. So we're going to be doing a lot more things. I'm looking forward to 2021. We're going to get crazy.
Let's get crazy.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think we're good.
I think that's the show.
Totally Local Podcast. Totally_local_podcast. Check us out. Totally Local Podcast on Facebook. You know the deal. Tell your friends. Share the story. If you want to come get shocked, come into Rekt Studios. It's pretty messed up, man. I don't feel the same. All right. Everyone, have a good day.
Thanks. Absolutely.